afternoon, and welcome to iWolfs, the owner-friendly and dog-friendly dog training show hosted by Dr. Ian Dunbar. iWolfs is proudly sponsored by Premier Pet Products and the Kong Company. In this hour, Dr. Dunbar will help you understand dog training from the dog's point of view. Now here's your host, Dr. Dunbar.
Hi, this is Dr. Dunbar's iWolfs, the owner-friendly and dog-friendly dog training show to help you understand dog training from the dog's point of view and to learn what you can learn from your dog. So it's hello from me, Dr. Ian Dunbar. Hello from Dune. Hello from Claude. And hello from Ollie. And the topic this week is no recall. I almost forgot I had no recall. No, joking, sorry. It's come here. How do we teach dogs to come here? So it's nothing irritates owners more than the dog that doesn't come when called. And then the situation quickly goes from bad to worse as the owner has a hissy fit. And now the dog becomes even less likely to want to come. Basically, there's only three reasons why a dog wouldn't eagerly come when called. Come here signals that good times end. Or come here signals that bad times begin, or the dog simply isn't that much interested in visiting his owner. Indeed, you know, the manner of a dog's recall is a real window into the dog's temperament. So I think what we got to do here is to teach the dog to come when called, and then we have to integrate training into the dog's life. And essentially, you've got to integrate the owner into the dog's life, into the dog's fun times, especially on walks and when the dog is off-leash in the park. Certainly, you're a major factor in the dog's life at home, but it's very different when you're in the park. I have a question here, and I have two dogs, female German Shepherd, 4 years, 3 years old. I treat them very well. They're my babies. Some people even say I spoil them a bit, but I love them. They have special, comfy, expensive dog beds. I feed them fresh homemade meals. We go for walks or play fetch every day. I don't understand. With all that I do for them, they still misbehave and ignore me. Why? Is it like they are ungrateful? It's such a lovely question because so many people feel this way, that we do so much for our dogs, and then they ignore us in the park, and we feel slighted. And no, they're not being ungrateful. It's just we're talking about two different things here. One is you have a beautiful relationship at home, and they love you at home. And at home, and they know they can get you any time when they're at home. Whenever they want attention, affection, they just say, "Hi, Mum," and you'll probably cook them another homemade meal. Coming when called is dog training. It's totally different. I mean, even for a dog which is really tuned in to his owner, and like as an old man who lived near where I lived, he's probably about 85, 90 years old, and he used to walk this border collie, and the dog just stuck to him like glue. And the dog, that was his life, you know, that the old man was the dog's son, and he was just a mere planet. But even for a dog like that, there are times, no, now the dog has another interest. He wants to delay to sniff. He wants to wander off. And so getting a dog to come when called is dog training. It's training. And it has, yes, a reflection on the relationship, but just because your dog loves you at home doesn't mean to say he's going to stick by you in the park. You see, when you are on walks and in the park, the whole environment is there. And that's your competitor. That's who you're competing with for your dog's attention. You are competing with squirrels. You are competing with other dogs' butts. You are competing with smells, urine, feces, and what have you. So now I think it's time to see things, from the dog's point of view. Let's get back to Theo and Grasshopper. And Theo asks, and Grasshopper asks, "Theo, a wise Akita, when my owner calls me in the park, I have this dilemma. Do I want to run to greet my owner, or do I want to sniff that other dog's butt?" Difficult decision, Grasshopper. Let me see. Run to owner. Sniff dog's butt. I mean, I'm sorry. I just find this such a scary thought that here we are in the park and the dog has this choice. What do I do? Do I run up to the owner who I live with and I'm going to spend the evening with, you know? Or do I sniff this dog's butt, which is right in front of me? And what happens is the dog's butt wins every time. You know, when the owner says, oh, I don't have a recall with my dog, he won't come when called, I say, go and look at yourself in the bathroom mirror, you know, and I want you to realize that your dog finds another dog's rear end more attractive than what you're looking at now. Anyway, so what I mean is, Sensei, I live with my owner. I can spend all evening snuggling on the couch with them. Are they just insecure or over-dependent? It's not like I'm deserting them or slighting them or spending time with other people. I mean, when I'm in the park, there are squirrels, other dogs' tennis balls. There's so much to pee and sniff. I mean, one has to answer one's pee mail and poop. Poop of all denominations, and dog's butts galore. Why is my owner so selfish? Why doesn't my owner understand me? Why doesn't my owner understand why we went to the park in the first place? That's quite the culture clash, Grasshopper. Maybe your owner needs some doggy empathy training. And I think we do. I think we need to understand the dog a little better and to realize that the number one reward in domestic dogdom is a walk to the park, and especially the chance to sniff pee, poop, or another dog's butt. And as soon as we come to realize this, the easier it's going to be to train our dogs. Because now we know what the challenge is, we know what we're competing against, and now we know what the reward must be in training. Obviously, the reward in training, the reward for the dog to come when called, has to be go sniff another dog, go sniff pee, go sniff poop. If we're not using those rewards of that caliber, it just ain't going to happen. It's no good calling your dog and say, come here, good boy, or patting him on the head. I mean, yeah, a pat on the head's pretty cool when it's, say, you in the kitchen and it's dinner time and you've got the dog's food bowl in your hand. You've got the dog's attention then. But when you're in the park and you've got all of those distractions, a pat on the head, praise, a food treat, it just doesn't cut it. It doesn't cut it. And almost to the point where it's an irritant to the dog. So let's look on the times or the reasons why dogs don't come when called. Good times ending. I mean, this is really the biggie, that the dog's having a great time in the park. He's wandering around, he's sniffing, he's gambling around, da-da-da-da-da. And then the owner says, come here, snaps on the leash, takes the dog home. I mean, you know, of course the dog's going to learn this. You know, a Basset will learn this. A Mastiff will learn this in one trial. This is not rocket science. Duh, let me work this out. I was having a good time. Owner said, come here. I went up to them. They put me on leash and took me home. There we go. So, of course, the dog doesn't want to come when called. What you've actually done there, albeit unintentionally, is you have punished the dog in the very worst way possible. That you have ended the play session when he was obedient. So what you've got to do here is you have to integrate training into the play session. And this essentially is, I mean, this is the central tenet of how to teach a new dog old tricks. It's a central tenet of teaching puppy classes off leash. And the whole point of doing this is that we nest lots of little tiny obedience or training interludes within the play session. And so we're always stopping that play. That you can get yourself into a lot of trouble if you let a dog play without stopping it. If you, let's say, let the dog off leash in a dog park and he plays 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 and then you find you can't catch him because he's having such a great time. He's amped up and you say, come here, and he doesn't respond. This is what most owners do. They take the dog to the park and they say, do you want to go walk? The dog goes bananas. He does moon loops. And then you put him on the leash and take him for a walk. thereby rewarding the craziest behavior in the world. That's absolutely ridiculous. The dog acts like an idiot, and you take him on a walk. Then you say, let him off leash in the dog park, and ignore him for 45 minutes. He's having the time of his life. And then you say, come here. And when he comes, you put him on leash and you end it. And you take him home. Oh, this is madness. Madness. I mean, it's like we have got it 180 degrees out of phase here. So what we have to do instead is interrupt the play session every 15 seconds at minimum. And it's just come here, take the collar. Give him a treat, say go play. Come here, take the collar, give him a treat, go play. Come here, take the collar, have him sit. Treat, go play. Come here, sit, give him a treat, go play. Come here, put the leash on. Do a little healing. Have him sit, give him a treat, take the leash off, go play. So that we have lots of little training interludes within the play session. It's absolutely the most important thing to do in training. And again, it comes back to this whole thing of, it's pretty easy to teach a dog what we want to do. I mean, you go to puppy class and your puppy learns recall the first week. With a young puppy, all you have to do is say, puppy come, or go, or break wind, or anything. Clap your hands and the puppy comes running to you. And he's got it. He learns, wow, when they say come here, run up to them, it's great, you know. The problem is when they collide with adolescents and they develop their own interests. Now we have a big problem. You say, come here, and the puppy says, well, actually, I'm kind of busy over here sniffing this really nice fluffy butt rear end. And we have a huge problem. And the dog is not being nasty. He's not being selfish. He's not being ungrateful. It's just he'd rather sniff another dog's butt than come when called, because he thinks the two things are mutually exclusive, because you've taught him that. He has learned if he stops sniffing this dog's butt and he goes up to you, then the play session ends. That's why he doesn't come when called anymore. You've got to teach him, oh no, my furry friend, you have got it wrong. If I say come here, this is a very convenient pause for a refreshment break. And I'm going to give you two liver treats. And then I'm going to kiss you on the nose. And I'm going to give you a big hug. And I hope I don't embarrass you too much, but I'm going to whisper that I love you. And then I'm going to say go play again. And we're going to do this over and over. And the big deal here is every time you stop the play session, you can start it again. Every time you stop the play session, you can use the word go play as a reward again for what? For coming when called. So it should be come here, take the collar, give a treat, go play. Come here, take the collar, give a treat, go play. And the reason we take the collar is to get the dog used to really like being grabbed by the collar, so that if we ever do need to grab the dog, we know we can. So this is the number one thing. Let's stop the dog thinking that come here signals that good times end. No, no, no. The dog has to learn that come here signals refreshment break. Time to get some love from my owner, and then good times continue. As this show, I Woofs will continue after a very short break.
From our home to your speakers, voiceamerica.com.
Do you want to keep your dog busy with good things to chew? Check out the newest products in Premier's Busy Buddy line. The Bouncy Bone combines rubber, durable nylon, and replaceable rawhide rings for extended playtime pleasure. Fill Tugger Jug with treats or kibble, and your dog will be regularly rewarded while playing fetch or tug or just rolling it around on his own. Ask for Busy Buddy at your local pet store, veterinarian, or trainer. And be sure to check out all the other great Busy Buddy toys, including Waggle, Twist and Treat, Squirrel Dude, and more at Premier.com.
Looking for the world's most versatile and durable dog toy? The Kong Company established the standard for dog toy performance and durability. The legendary red rubber Kong toy is recommended by the world's top veterinarians and dog trainers. A tree-stuffed Kong toy is the training tool of choice for addressing numerous behavioral challenges, including destructive chewing, excessive barking, and separation anxiety. Kong toys are available at pet stores worldwide. Get your Kong today. Your dog will love you for it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to iWolves with veterinarian and animal behaviorist Dr. Ian Dunbar, the pioneer of lure, reward, fun and games, dog-friendly dog training. Now back to the show.
Hi, this is Dr. Ian Dunbar, and we're back with iWolves.
Woof woof.
And before the break, we were talking about good times ending and how dogs very quickly learn that coming when called signals the end of their play session. And that's probably the number one reason why they don't want to come when called. Certainly, the best way to get reliability in a dog is to learn how to integrate training into the dog's lifestyle, into the owner's lifestyle. Again, this is the story of how to teach a new dog old tricks. We must learn how to integrate training. We cannot have, for example, we have a play session and a training session. So if you're going, say, to a puppy class and they have a 5-minute play session and then training, it's not going to work. Or vice versa. They have 5 minutes training and then 55 minutes play. It's not going to work because the dog can tell the difference between play and training. And so the dog will say, another difficult decision. Which do I prefer? Play, when I run around and jump on other dogs and bite them and sniff their butts? Or training, when I sit in front of my owner who ignores me while I'm doing a perfect sit stay? So we have to break it up so we have lots of little training interludes within the dog's play session. And by interludes, I mean, hey, a second long is fine. 90% of them should be less than 5 seconds. Come, sit, grab the collar, go treat, go play. Occasionally, come, sit, watch me, or come, sit, heel, sit, go play. And every time we do this, the play session reinforces the little obedience interlude. Alternatively, we want to have a little training prologues before every big enjoyable session. So definitely before walks, definitely before being let off leash, and definitely before any game with the owner. So this is basically the secret of reliable responses from dogs, that you've integrated the training into their lifestyle. So now the dog can no longer tell the difference. The dog knows that playing has lots of rules. You know, there's rules to playing tug, there's rules to fetch, there's rules to playing tag, there's rules to playing with other dogs. Lots of rules during playing, and that training is fun. And training is usually short, and there's a lot of smiles, a lot of praise, a lot of food rewards, a lot of toy rewards, game rewards, and then we get back to playing with other dogs again. That the dog cannot tell the difference between the two. If you interviewed the dog and said, are you playing or training right now? The response I want from the dog is, well, I don't really know. I'm definitely having a good time, and so in that sense you could say I'm playing, but I'm also learning lots of things. Yes, it's really difficult to say. And this is the sort of dilemma I want to have the dog in, that play has rules, training is fun. If we don't do it, if the dog can tell the difference, this is play and this is training, you will not have a trained dog. Because now the play will be a distraction against training. If you integrate training into play, now play becomes a reward that works for training and reinforces all the responses that we want. Come here, good dog, go play. Come here, take the collar, sit, go play. Come here, sit, stay, go play. That's the only way it can be done. I did not particularly come up or evolve this technique. This is just what I did as a kid. It's what my father did with his gun dogs. Every 30 seconds he would say, sit, and then go on. Now you can go sniff for pheasants or rabbits. And that was it. And when I got my first Malamute, that's what I did. And I can remember someone asking me one day, how did you teach Omaha to sit at a distance when he's like, you know, 90 yards away? And you can see the distance in the Serious Puppy Training video. I mean, that's why I asked them to film it with no editing. He's like 90 yards away and you say sit and he sits. And I couldn't really remember because I just did it. But then I thought about it, and that then became, it's a major exercise in puppy class. teaching the recall from the play session or teaching the emergency sit. So let's now talk about the number two reason dogs don't come when called: bad times begin. You know, this is a training no-no, and I hope you really pay attention to this and learn. This is when we are really screwing up. It's one thing not knowing how to integrate training into the dog's good times, but calling a dog for bad times is another matter entirely. Benignly, we could call the dog for confinement. We say, "Puppy, come here," and then we put him in the garage and we leave. No, if you have to confine the dog, then do it in a way that softens the blow. For example, you're in the park and now it's time really to go home. You say, "Hey, puppy, shall we go to the back to the car and get your stuffed squirrel dude?" And so the dog says, "Wow, stuffed squirrel dude, I can't even say it. Yeah, I want to go back to the car." And then when we get back home, what do we have there? But we have another stuffed chew toy, maybe a stuffed biscuit ball because it's dinner time. And so now the dog wants to go back to the car. He wants to go back to the house. You know, if we want to confine the dog again because we're leaving home, we say, "Hey, would you want to go to your puppy playroom? And here is a stuffed chew toy." So we want to soften the blow. Sometimes, though, we call the dog, you know, for real bad times. I mean, and this is where I tell the owner, "Hey, you know, your dog doesn't come when called. Do you want to know why? Look in the bathroom mirror. There's your dog's problem right there. Yeah, ugly face." It's as simple as that. The dog is... why should he go to you? I mean, you're just acting horribly to him. I mean, I can absolutely understand why not to come when called. I mean, when you see it from the dog's point of view. So maybe Grasshopper say, Theo, wise Akita, what do I do when my owner screams, "Come here, you miserable cur!" Oh, Grasshopper, when will you ever learn? Just say, "No, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to come when called right now. Thank you very much, most loving owner, because I've heard this tone before, and usually you're not very nice to me when you speak to me in that tone." It's kind of a no-brainer, and Grasshopper should have known that. "I know, Sensei, but the other day I did run up to my owner when she was screaming at me, and when I got there, she grabbed me and screamed in my face, 'You bad dog! Don't you ever do that again!' I mean, what should I do, Sensei?" Oh, Grasshopper, not the ugly face training technique from the dark side. Well, we have a very simple answer to that question, don't we now? "I think so. I shouldn't do it again then, should I? I shouldn't come when called." Oh, Grasshopper, this is indeed wonderful. At long last, I think you're beginning to learn. So, it's obviously, you know, so pretty obvious when the owner asks the dog to come and the dog doesn't, for whatever reasons. And as I said, there are three main ones. But then the owner has a hissy fit. "Come here! I just don't think so. It just ain't going to work. That's higher level training." I remember with Phoenix, as a joke and like a party piece, I actually trained her to come when I would shout at her. And now in puppy class, we do that with all the dogs. We train them that if you say, "Come here," they should come and sit. But if you say, "Puppy, come here," they should come really quickly with their tails wagging. You see, because most people will train a dog, "Oh, puppy, come here. There's a good puppy. Oh, good boy." And it works. But the first time they really need it in an emergency, that puppy is chasing a cat across the road and the owner's really upset and they scream, Run, stop, come here. And the dog says, "I don't think so." And he crosses the road and gets killed because they never practiced shouting at the dog in training. So we shout in training and we use a gruff voice and you know, we say, "Robert, come here." And what it means, though, is urgency. It doesn't mean you're going to get punished. This is, I make everyone put their hand up in the air and they promise I will never, ever call my dog to me and punish it ever. This is a promise they have to make to their dog. Their dog has to know this. The dog has to know if the owner calls it, then if it runs to the owner, it's going to be absolutely safe. So, I forgot what I was going to say that right in the middle of it. Yes, we have to make sure that the owner does not grab the dog and do this ugly face routine. It just breaks all of the trust straight away. The dog came to you in good faith. He ran up to you, and then you grab him and you shout at him. So I trained Phoenix to do this, and the way you do it is you say, "Puppy, come, good dog." When it comes, then "Puppy, come here," and piece of kibble when she gets there. "Puppy, come here," kibble, kibble. Then "Puppy, come here," liver, liver. "Puppy, will you come here?" Liver, liver, chicken. And the dog's got it. And the dog says, "Wow, I love it when he speaks gruff. Boy, there is some urgency to get over there because there's, you know, going to have some freeze-dried liver and some cheese and some chicken." And I used to use this as a party piece. You know, I'd have trainers visit me from around the world and we're sitting down to dinner. And I would suddenly say, "Phoenix, come here!" And she would run over and sit all perky. And you could see the trainer would look at me like, why on earth would that dog run up to Ian like that? He is such a, well, you get the picture. And they were totally bemused. And then I would do the same thing with my son, Jamie, and I'd suddenly say, you know, "Hey, Jamie, that's enough. I want you now to just pull yourself together." And Jamie would grab hold of his arms and legs and pull them together and say, "Okay, and I'm going to my room where I'm going to be socially isolated with my VCR and Game Boy, so goodbye." And then we would both giggle and people would realize that we were laughing. And the important thing here is, it's not what we say. It's not the tone. It's not the volume. It's what you've trained it to mean. And so many people don't work with this. And so when they need it, they can't use it. When they shout, the dog freezes or runs away. But instead, you train the dog that volume and tone means urgency. And this can be a life-saving technique. Anyway, we have a couple of minutes break. I shall be back.
Conversation at a click of a mouse. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Ian Dunbar. As a veterinarian and animal behaviorist, people often ask me which toy is best suited for their canine companion. Without hesitation, I have recommended the durable and versatile Classic Kong toy. The Kong toy is known as the original canine treat and food dispenser. Simply stuff a Kong toy with any healthy dog food or treat, and you have the perfect training tool. A foodstuff Kong toy will stimulate your dog mentally, reduce frustration and anxiety, and ensure your dog is chewing on something other than your sofa. Find quality Kong products at pet stores everywhere. Your dog will love you for it.
Want to keep your dog busy with good things to chew? Premier's Busy Buddy treat-holding toys are the answer. Each one is designed to hold a different type of treat, providing hours of entertainment. Squirrel Dude features the patented treat meter, randomly dispensing kibble as your dog plays. The Big Kahuna Football includes the patented treat trapper, ideal for hard biscuits and intense chewing pleasure. Ask for Busy Buddy at your local pet store, veterinarian, or trainer, and be sure to check out all the other great Busy Buddy toys, including Waggle, Bouncy Bone, Tug-a-Jug, and more at Premier.com.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to iWolves with veterinarian and animal behaviorist Dr. Ian Dunbar, the pioneer of lure, reward, fun and games, dog-friendly dog training. Now back to the show.
Hi, this is Dr. Ian Dunbar, and we're back with iWolves. Before the break, we were talking about never call your dog and punish it. This is the number two reason dogs don't come when called. And the third reason is the dog just doesn't see the point. Again, the dog is not being ungrateful, not being spiteful, not being dominant. The dog just doesn't see the point of coming when called, which is, of course, the major part in dog training. I've said it before, I'll say it again. First, we teach the dog what we want him to do. Then we have to teach the dog to want to do what we want him to do. We have to motivate the dog. Basically, there's two types of motivation, natural or induced. Natural methods or deprivation techniques were used, and people would say, oh, if you didn't spoil the dog so much, he'd be more likely to listen to you, come when called, he wouldn't take you for granted. Certainly there's some truth to that, but, you know, I'm sorry, I love to spoil my dogs, but I also like them to respect my wishes, and I like them to be reliable. If I ask them to come, I'd like them to come. So, induced motivation. This is dog training. We use rewards to reinforce behavior, to motivate the dog to want to do it. And this is what dog training is all about, to teach the dog to want to do what we want him to do. So, at home, I would think of all the things the dog likes, and I'm going to call the dog for everyone. Puppy, come here. Oh, he's a good boy. Do you want a big tummy rub? Okay, lie down, and I'll give him a big, long massage. Or I call the dog, and then up on the couch. Or I call the dog, and he can do pre-wash on one of the dishes that I'm finishing for dinner. I call the dog, and then say, you want to go walkies? And then we go out for a quick walk. So the dog learns, wow, you know, when they say come here, you don't want to miss it. I will also then set my dog up to miss it. I'll wait till he's maybe lying down sleepy or distracted. And I'll say, puppy, come here. And I will go 1, 2, 3, and then say, oh dear, too bad. And I'll walk up to the puppy and say, I was calling you because I had some steak left over from dinner. Look, do you want to sniff it? But well, you were too slow, so I guess I'll eat it myself. Or maybe I'll give it to this sheltie here, give it to another dog. And whoa, you get a reaction. And it was coded away. They perceived the come here, and they didn't respond. You do that 3 or 4 times, they're never going to miss a whispered request again. Another aspect of natural motivation, though, is internal motivation. And this is huge. And the whole basis of my, like, reliability dog training program based around this, that this is the holy grail of dog training. We will use a food lure to teach the dog what we want him to do, come when called. We use a food reward to teach the dog it's in his best interest. And that works for puppies or a dog if he's not too distracted. But, you know, it's not going to last if the dog's outside and there's other interests and distractions there. So you have to use everything. Every life reward that works, you got to call the dog, and then something good happens. Tug of war and retrieval games are just absolutely really good for this. So, you know, whether you're playing with your tennis tug or your cool Kong, and we throw it out, the dog sits before you throw it, and then of course he has to bring it back in order to play with you. This is such a no-brainer here. He comes back, you say, good boy, sit, tuck, 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 then thank you, sit, and you throw it again. And this produces a really reliable recall because these are life rewards. These are games the dog really enjoys playing, and you're using them now as rewards to reinforce the behavior. The holy grail of dog training, though, is ultimately rewards aren't necessary. You say to your dog, come here, the dog comes. Of course he comes. That's what he really wants to do. He has been actually waiting around all day long, waiting for you to say, come here. It is the best thing that's ever happened to him because he wants to do it. That the response is self-reinforcing. The dog is internally motivated. And it's difficult for people to understand this because we're just stuck in this, we've got to dominate the dog because he's trying to dominate us sort of routine. We've got to force him to act against his will. We've got to make him sit and lie down. And whereas my approach is, I want to teach the dog to really enjoy doing this the same way that I taught my son to ski or to play chess, or he taught me to play video games. And now when he says to me, hey, Dad, do you want to play Twisted Metal Dark? I say, yeah, I'd love to. Would you like me to get you a beer so we can play together? And my son, by the way, now is over 21. Or if I say, do you want to go skiing? Yes, is the answer. I don't have to pay him to ski with me. Or if I say, let's go outside, throw the football back and forth. You know, it's the same sort of thing as dancing is probably... That's the best analogy. You don't go up to someone, go up to your wife and grab hold of a necklace and go, dance with me, yank! what you say is, hey, honey, would you like to dance? And, well, apart from fainting, you know, she drops on the floor. She's so shocked. She says, yeah, I would love to. That's really cool. So natural motivation. Come here, sit down. The dog, he's hand-fed. Same thing. He doesn't eat food from a bowl. Come here, sit down, treat. Come here, sit down, treat. Come here, sit down, treat. And I want you to think about this because, you know, the whole concept of disobedience, we ask the dog to come, he doesn't come, but he offers something else. He lies down instead. So he's not doing what we want, but he does something that takes energy. Or we move up, we ask him to come, he doesn't do it. He does nothing. He just stands there. So he doesn't come and he doesn't do something that takes energy. Or we'd have a third level of disobedience, if you like. You ask the dog to come, he doesn't come, he runs off, and he has a good time. So not only does he not do what we want, he expends a lot of energy having a good time. So we've got to stop that. But this whole notion of disobedience, to me, it's, we just haven't trained the dog yet, you know? I'm sorry. It's not like the dog says, the owner told me to come here. Well, I'm going to defy him and run away. I'm sorry. No, the dog probably thinks, oh, the owner's wittering away at something. I don't know what they want, but they usually shut up in the end. I mean, that's basically it. It's on that level. Oh, excuse me. I'll go in a moment. I love my owner. I love lying in their lap and sitting on the couch with them. But I'll go. I'll just sniff this cat poo and maybe eat a little, and then I'll wander over there. I mean, this is the dog. He's not this dominant freak trying to take over the world. But we get into this dominance issue. So I tell people, you're going to get, come here, sit down. Just, you're going to nail it. Come here, sit down, kibble. Come here, sit down, kibble. And you do that with the dog's meal, he's got it. And we do this because if ever we screw up in training and we frighten the dog, we shout at him, come here. I said, come here. And he gets a little. We say, come here. He knows he can run to us and he's forgiven. That's basically it. I remember I once had my favorite, this is actually my all-time favorite owner in class. She's a little girl called Kristen, and she's about 6, and she came to class with mom, dad, granny, and a big old rotty puppy who they called Panzer. Don't ask, sorry, yeah, there we go. And anyway, I would do round-robin recalls with them. So I would say to dad, call the dog. He'd say, Panzer, come. Good boy, Panzer. Panzer, sit. Panzer, down. There's a good dog. I'd say, now send him to your wife. He'd say, Panzer, go to mum. Go to mum, Panzer. And then the wife would call and she'd say, Panny, baby, can you come to mummy? Oh, good Panny, can you sit for your mummy and lie down? Oh, he's a good boy who wants a kiss. Good Panny. Now, go to Kristen. And then Kristen would get up and she would say, Panzer, come here. Good boy, good boy, good boy. Panzer, sit down, sit. And this little dog would sit and lie down and pop up and down for her and listen to every word she said. So I want to analyze this sequence because when you look at it, you see the 6-year-old girl and she's squeaking at this dog, you know, and the dog does all these things. So we could say, you know, Christian squeaks and Panzer does a few things. Alternatively, we could say, actually, Kristen was delivering her wishes or expressing her wishes and requests in a squeaky voice, and the dog was actually honoring her requests and granting her wishes. The dog was actually doing it. Or we could say, you know, Kristen was commanding the dog in a squeaky voice, and the dog showed compliance. The dog was absolutely compliant. It came when called. It sat when asked. It laid down when commanded to do so. More importantly, Panzer, the Rotty, showed willing and happy compliance. And to me, that's what it's all about. That the little girl squeaked and the dog said, oh, good call. I want to do that. And I'm doing it because I want to do it. Because you are controlling me with your brain. Not with your body, not with your muscles, not with your long leash and your metal collars. Your brain is controlling me. You have mental domination, but I'm happy about it. I want to do it. And this to me is what dog training is all about. Now, what we generally have lots of exercise to do this, the round robin recalls that I mentioned, the family sends the dog from one to the other. And if you get the timing right, your dog learns the names of family members. So dad says, Rover, go to mum. Then dad has to be quiet. And then mum calls, Rover, come. And so what does the dog learn? Aha! When someone says, go to mum, then she's going to call. So I like her, so I'm just going to run up to her when someone says, go to mum. So this way, the dog can learn names of people in the family. Now, you have to get the timing right, because parents can really screw up children here. You know, usually mum will say, you know, Panzer, go to Christian. Go on, go to Christian, go to Christian. Well, if mum's still talking, the dog will sit and listen to mum. And you've just totally countermanded your child's control there. So you want to make sure you say, Panzer, go to Kristin, then you're quiet. Kristin then does everything to get the dog to come when called. If the dog doesn't come when called, the parent just walks over quietly and stands behind Kristin. And in families, I do this where if the little girl, say, calls the dog twice, every family member goes and stands behind the little girl and reissues the instruction. So the little girl says, Panzer, come! And it doesn't come, then the whole family, Kristin, Mum, Dad, and Granny, say, Panzer, come. And the dog thinks, wow, this little girl is so powerful. When she whispers, everybody listens, including me. And now we have time for a very short break. I shall be back. Dr. Ian Dunbar with iWoofs.
From our home to your speakers, voiceamerica.com.
Walk with me and put an end to frustrating leash pulling, lunging, and jumping forever. Premier's Gentle Leader Head Collar has been delivering immediate, gentle control for years and has long been the number one recommended head collar endorsed by vets and trainers. Dogs love it because the unique design doesn't choke and eliminates any pressure on their throat. Pet owners love the Gentle Leader because it allows them to enjoy comfortable walks and a more satisfying relationship with their pet. Want to join the millions of dog owners that have found the secret to stress-free walks? Ask about Gentle Leader at your vet, trainer, or pet retailer.
Kong Dog Toys are praised by owners and trainers alike for quality, versatility, and durability. The world's top veterinarians have recommended the original Kong toy for over 30 years. Kong has become the training tool of choice for addressing numerous behavioral challenges, including destructive chewing, excessive barking, and separation anxiety. The key to successful Kong training is to insert healthy dog food or treats into the Kong toy to entice your dog. Look no further than Kong Stuff and Brand Dog Treats, perfectly designed to fit Kong toys. Available wherever pet supplies are sold. Your dog will love you for it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to iWoofs with veterinarian and animal behaviorist Dr. Ian Dunbar, the pioneer of lure, reward, fun and games, dog-friendly dog training. Now back to the show.
Hi, it's Dr. Ian Dunbar, and we're back with iWoofs. Before the break, we were talking about teaching dogs to come, sit, lie down, how not only was that a display of being reliable, it's also an acknowledgement of being compliant, of being willingly and happily compliant because the dog's off-leash. And that's essentially what pet dog training is all about. One of the things we do in puppy classes now, rather than teach the dog to come from a play session, we teach the dog an emergency sit. And this is so much easier for owners to do. It's very difficult to maintain a good recall that, and because the response is quite complex. The dog's sniffing, you ask the dog to come, he has to stop sniffing, he has to turn around, he has to approach and come towards you, and he has to get all the way there. And the common mistakes are the dog starts coming towards you and you say nothing, so halfway across the dog gives up. That's just a training disaster. It really is. The dog completed 50% or say 95% of the recall and you didn't say thank you once and then the dog doesn't finish the final bit because then you will get frustrated and shout at the dog. And that's very, very silly. So it's an activational command. You have to activate the dog to come towards you or you have to train him specifically to respond to gruff tone and volume, meaning urgency. And that is actually a training exercise. But the dog won't naturally come towards you if you're shouting. However, the dog will naturally stop moving and will naturally sit and lie down if you shout. And this is why we have big sex differences in training, that you will find that Women and children are just much better at getting dogs to approach them and follow. Men are much better at getting dogs to lie down and stay. And so instead we teach an emergency sit or an emergency down. We do it in four steps. So the first step is all the puppies are playing. We do this week one. I tell everybody, grab your dog by the collar, give him a treat, say go play. And so we do that a few times until everyone can easily catch their dog. And usually that takes about 6 to 8 trials. There's a couple of dogs there which are pretty uncatchable. Until you've caught them 3 or 4 times, given them the food treats, liver, 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 and say go play, and then they learn, aha, it's actually quite fun being caught, and being caught is not the end of the play session. And this is really important. It's very dangerous to have a dog run when you reach out to grab him. You know, it could cost the dog his life one day. He's trying to climb through the car window on a freeway or dash out the front door and you go to grab him and he ducks his head and runs off. It's bad news. I want to have dogs that when I dash my hand out to grab them, they say, grab me, please, the collar, may I have my liver treat now. So firstly, take the collar, give a treat, go play. Stage 2, take the collar, ask the dog to sit, give a treat, say go play. Pretty easy to learn. Then we move to stage 3, a quantum leap, because we are touching the dog before we get him to sit, and that we got to phase out really quickly. We did it to make it easy on the owner and for the dog to learn that being grabbed by the collar is not the end of the play session. It's just a time out for a refreshment break and you get back playing again. So in stage 3, the owner goes up to the dog in the play session and gets him to sit without touching him. This is a quantum leap in training because now the dog is sitting because the owner says so, not because the owner touches the dog. This is surprisingly easy to do if you've done stages 1 and 2 because the dog is now expecting the refreshment break. So it's sit without touching the dog, then take the dog by the collar to prove that you could grab the dog if needs be, then give the treat, then say, go play. Then we move to stage 4. And this is where I sit the owner in a chair at a distance, and they say, Rover, sit. Now, it's unlikely the dog's going to do it. So they run up to the dog going, Rover, sit, 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 sit. There's a good dog. And they pay attention to how many times did they say sit. Well, they said, Rover, sit, and then sit, 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 sit. That's 5 sit commands, and they had to run up to within 5 feet of the dog. That's the owner's record. We do it again, and we do it again. We do it again. By about the 4th repetition, now it's Rover, sit. Rover, sit, sit. They're only saying sit 3 times, and they only had to move about 2 yards. They're about 5 yards from the dog when he sits. So they go up to him. Good boy, you could have had this treat. They show him a treat, but they back up. Come here, sit. Touch the collar, go play. So the dog has to sit following a single command before he gets back to the play session. Then we repeat it, till eventually, Rover sit, good boy. They give 1.5 commands, and the dog sits from their chair. Eventually, they sit in their chair, they say, Rover sit, good boy, go play. Now they don't need to go up to the dog because the reward is right there. From a distance, they say, go play. This is what they want to do now when walking the dog, on leash or off. On leash, you can have a long line, a 20-foot, 30-foot line, and you keep saying, Rover, sit, and you just keep doing this routine. Off leash, you do it the same, and that dog learns sit means sit, no matter what is going on. So the emergency sit is much better to do, and the tip now is to integrate that sit into the dog playing at the dog park every 15 seconds, have him sit, and walking the dog every 25 meters, have the dog sit. And that's it. That's the training interlude. Sit, go on. Sit, go play. It's as short as that. Other exercises that work really well, practice park recalls with a trained dog. You got to get your timing right. You say, Rover, come, and then your friend with the trained dog calls their dog. So their dog running towards you is the lure for your dog to come too. Practice send-outs and go-tos. To people, like in the round-robin recalls, or to places. Go to your bed, good boy. Go to your chair, backwards send out. Get the dog to walk away from you backwards. It's really important to practice the dog going away from you. This is Murphy's Law in dog training. Then it will be very easy for the dog to come towards you. get the dog absolutely infatuated on an object. You know, whether this is a cool Kong, whether it's a tennis tug, whatever it is, you want this dog infatuated on an object that you can use to play fetch and tug of war. And then you go to a safe place, a tennis court, a dog park that's fenced, a friend's backyard that's fenced, and you play these games. Play tag with your dog. Hey, your dog wants to run away? Let's put the problem on cue and we're going to play tag. Play it at home first. The dogs love this game. But again, you interrupt the game every 15 or 30 seconds and tell the dog, sit, come here, sit, take the collar, go play tag again. And you chase the dog. This makes the dog absolutely catchable. So what do we learn from all this? Well, I think what we learn is always reward your dog when he comes when called, regardless of the previous behavior. I don't care if the dog has, say, bitten a child. You call the dog, he comes to you, you take hold of his collar, and you do not punish him. That you are the dog's safe haven. If you punish the dog when he gets to you, now we have a dog that still bites children but won't come when called. Same with family. Home is the safe haven. When they come back home, I don't care what they've done, you hug them. When they telephone you, don't moan. I've been so worried, why haven't you called me? You always welcome them. And never ugly face. You never punish when they come when called. I can remember once getting on a plane in Dallas, and in the front row was a little kid who was back kicking the seat in front of him. And his dad says, don't do that, Johnny. Hey, Johnny, don't do that. Johnny, don't do that. And then the man, he just flipped and grabbed his son by the cheeks and just said, I told you not to do that. What's happening to you? Like this ugly face trashing every part of the relationship or trust this son had in, I presume, his father. And I thought, shall I intervene with this? And I thought, no, Ian, walk by, walk back. So I went to the back of the plane and I sat down and a thought came to me, you know, if that hadn't been a child, if that had been a dog, I would have stopped him. So what's wrong with that picture? This is Dr. Ian Dunbar and this is iWoofs. Thank you for listening. You have been listening to Dr. Dunbar's iWoofs, the owner-friendly and dog-friendly dog training show to help you understand dog training from the dog's point of view and to learn what you can learn from your dog. iWoofs is sponsored by Premier Pet Products and by the Kong Company. So it's goodbye from me, Dr. Ian Dunbar. Goodbye from Dune. Goodbye from Claude. And goodbye from Ollie.